world. But soon this entertainment began to pall for them. After all, since it was perfectly clear to them that the thing was not a lobster, and since their world was blessed with an abundance of things that were lobsters, a good half a dozen of which were now marching succulently up the beach towards them, they saw no reason to waste any more time on the thing, but decided instead to adjourn immediately for a late lobster lunch. At that exact moment, the craft stopped suddenly in mid-air, then upended itself and plunged headlong into the ocean with a great crash of spray which sent them shouting into the trees. When they re-emerged, nervously, a few minutes later, all they were able to see was a smoothly scarred circle of water and a few gulping bubbles. "That's odd," they said to each other, between mouthfuls of the best lobster to be had anywhere in the Western Galaxy. "That's the second time that's happened in a year." The craft, which wasn't a lobster, dived direct to a depth of 200 feet and hung there in the heavy blueness while vast masses of water swayed about it. High above, where the water was magically clear, a brilliant formation of fish flashed away. Below, where the light had difficulty reaching, the colour of the water sank to a dark and savage blue. Here, at 200 feet, the sun streamed feebly. A large, silk-skinned sea mammal rolled idly by, inspecting the craft with a kind of half-interest, as if it had half-expected to find something of this kind round about here. And then it slid on up and away towards the rippling light. The craft waited here a minute or two, taking readings, and then descended another 200 feet. At this depth it was becoming seriously dark. After a moment or two, the internal lights of the craft shut down, and in the second or so that passed before the main external beam suddenly stabbed out, the only visible light came from a small, hazily illuminated pink sign, which read, "The Beeblebrocks Salvage and Really Wild Stuff Corporation." The huge beams switched downwards, catching a vast shoal of silver fish, which swiveled away in silent panic. In the dim control room, which extended in a broad bow from the craft's blunt prow, four heads were gathered around a computer display that was analyzing the very, very faint and intermittent signals that were emanating from deep on the seabed. "That's it," said the owner of one of the heads, finally.
"Can we be quite sure?" said the owner of another of the heads.
100% positive," replied the owner of the first head.
"You're 100% positive that the ship which is crashed on the bottom of this ocean is the ship which you said you were 100% positive could 100% positively never crash," said the owner of the two remaining heads.